Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I know Tom Appel remembers Mercury because he's a publisher of the Consumer Guide Automotive, right?
That's right.
Publisher, Consumer Guide Automotive. Gotcha. Tom Appel, publisher, Consumer Guide. Don't forget it. He's a publisher, Consumer Guide Automotive. All right. Are you ready to talk about some stuff?
I am.
All right. One of the things that struck me is hackers going after automobiles. And I can see, I'm not quite sure what they would hack, except they're trying to enter, get your private banking or whatever information through somehow hacking the systems in the car. Is that what this is?
Yeah, there's a lot going on here, and a lot of it is, none of this is news story, a lot of it is feature story, because what there is the possibility of something very bad happening. But to date, I'm not aware of any individual cases of someone's car actually being hacked.
Yeah.
But the possibility is there, because cars are all now connected via cellular technology to the manufacturer.
Right.
So it's a very real threat, and manufacturers have been paying hackers, they call them good hackers, to try to get into their car so they can block these access pathways and prevent this thing from happening. But the big fear is ransomware, that someone can get into your car, lock it up, and your car wouldn't be good again until you paid them some money.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's the fear. As far as I know, this has never happened, but it's a thing that could happen.
Ah. Since they already have, quote-unquote, good hackers trying to figure out how to hack, do they have good hackies who are trying to figure out how to stop them? I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, what they're finding are a lot of little access points where something that's not as protected as it should be. Or the most scary part is if you can enter the car via cellular, cellular access.
Right, sure.
The frightening point would be if they can get from wherever they're at to other things, like locking up your steering or preventing the car from being started, things like that. So that's really the danger points that are being blocked.
Yeah, I can see how that would easily attract a hacker and would be something that I certainly would not be thinking of as a byproduct of, I don't know what you want to call them, LoJack or... What was that thing that we're on? Next Star something or other?
No, that's us.
No. No. It was a thing that was in cars. You could get it in your car.
OnStar.
OnStar.
Yeah,
that's
OnStar.
It. Yeah, OnStar. Well, once that starts happening, then obviously there's a pathway to the car. I never thought of it in that sense, but that must be true.
Yeah, there is a pathway, and someone would have the first thing they would have to know is your IP address of your car,
right?
Which is not an easy thing to get. So you would almost have to let somebody with bad intentions use your car, and then maybe put a USB something into like a jump drive into the USB port or something like that, or to Bluetooth connect with your car. So don't let bad people do that.
No, I won't. It sounds like a good movie, though.
It does.
Because it's not quite happening yet. It's on the cusp of reality. That would be, I could see like some spy drama or whatever.
Well, they already made that movie about the killer car. Wasn't it Christine or something?
Yes, that was the killer car. But I don't believe Christine was, had an IP address. I don't think Christine had an IP address.
Kind of low tech.
Nor did I think Christine even want one, quite frankly, because Christine was interested in a whole bunch of other things. And by the way, speaking of other things, we're going to talk to Tom some more about some what I find to be pretty amazing headlines concerning automobiles and transportation when we come back on 720 WGN. Tom, I see this headline about a "What if highways were electric? Germany is testing the idea." What is that? Yeah. Well, I mean, we're getting electric automobiles. Is there any relation between the two, or is this a separate project?
This is separate in that what the industry is worried about with over-the-road trucks, Class 7 or Class 8, the big rigs, how they're going to approach a gasless or dieselless future is very different than how we will with cars. And there's a couple of things that they want to do, but we hear a lot about fuel cells, and fuel cells are very impractical for automobiles because they involve huge tanks. And they don't work in cars, but they might work for over-the-road trucks. But the other thing that they're talking about is still trying to electrify trucks to some degree. Now, the problem is the bigger the battery gets, the more you have to haul around as a battery. So you end up with an inflection point where it makes no sense to use a bigger battery. So big semis and stuff don't make sense as electric vehicles. So in Germany, they're actually trying a system that is very old to Chicagoans, which is to actually run rails or wires above the highway that trucks can hook up with, turn off their diesel engines, and run electrically. And of course, we've seen this on the CTA for decades.
Absolutely. And people in Indiana know the South Shore. It's been around for literally decades. There's nothing new about this. And they're considering converting the entire highway system in Germany, at least where they have access to larger vehicles and trucks, into this type of electrical transportation?
I don't know what the ultimate goal is. It seems very unlikely that in Germany they're going to electrify the entire Autobahn. Too expensive, very expensive. What could happen ultimately is this is an experiment by which they could learn how they could charge vehicles that were electric using over-the-road wires, something like that. So we'll see where this goes. But big companies are behind this. Siemens, big auto industry supplier, is one of the companies working on this project. So I don't think this is considered an ultimate solution. I think it's an experiment, and I think they can learn a lot from it.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed when I read the article, because at first I thought, oh, they're coming up with a way that the highway can be electric and the car can be electric at the same time, and somehow they'll interface. But that's not what this is about at all.
No, and there is actually technology that exists that would work that way, where you could implant something in the pavement that would charge a car as it drives along.
No kidding.
As we know, it's incredibly expensive to build highway, and we would be making it three times as expensive to do this. So though it can happen, it's unlikely to happen anytime soon.
You know, anytime that there's a development of technology and a change in what the consumer can obtain, it strikes me that there's a latency, there's a delay from the time that it happens to the time that it is fully accepted by everyone. For instance, like, I don't know if this is a correct analogy, color TV, okay?
Sure.
Color TV comes out. Not everybody, people don't have a color TV. When are you going to get a color TV? Oh, I don't know. And now, if you didn't have a color TV, people would think, what? You don't have a color TV? What's wrong with you? So I'm trying to make an analogy between that and electric vehicles. Because I just saw an ad. I tell you, I just saw another ad for like a new Cadillac. I think it was an electric SUV. I think that's what I saw, like last night. And I'm like, here we go again. How long would it take, and would it take at all, for electric vehicles to be a mass consumption product for the American consumer?
That's a great question, and I think the jury's out on a solid answer on that question.
Yeah.
This year will be the best year ever for EV sales in the U.S., but the number is going to be small.
It may
go from 2% to about 4% of the total market. That Cadillac you saw is called the Cadillac Lyriq, and it's a mid-sized crossover, actually a smallish mid-sized crossover, and that's due later this year. It's kind of a good-looking car.
Yeah, it was.
Very interested in that car because they're talking about being fairly price competitive, too. But Cadillac is one of the brands like Volvo and Jaguar and a couple of other manufacturers that have decided that they're going to go all electric early.
Yeah.
And that's easier for a luxury manufacturer to do because they have wealthy customers who can afford charging stations, can afford batteries, and it's a much bigger commitment for Ford or Chevy to say the same thing.
Right, but there's been like the Chevy Volt. That's been out for a while. That's not a I don't think people would assume that that's a high-end automobile, would they? The Volt?
No, the Volt sold pretty well, too. That was a plug-in hybrid. Actually, kind of, yeah. It was an extended-range electric vehicle. So it did work as an electric vehicle for 40 or 50 miles.
Oh, okay.
A small gas engine would kick in. But it was the beginning of the EV era, very much so. And then the Chevy Bolt with the B, that's available now, that is a fully electric vehicle.
Because if a product line it goes entirely electric, then there is no choice for the consumer if that's the kind of car that they want to buy, unless they go, of course, to a different brand that's not fully electric, that's still offering your, you know, gasoline combustion engine, and that's still available. But somewhere along the line, there's got to be a tipping point between the increase in the amount of electric vehicles available and the increase in the amount of electric vehicles purchased by the people that, you know, the citizens of the country. I mean, in the middle of like Iowa and, you know, Utah and everywhere is what I'm thinking. You know, I remember being in California years ago and seeing like the first hybrid and going, wow, that's fantastic. And then coming back here and it never got here until a few years later. And now they're everywhere. They're ubiquitous, so to speak. I mean, there is some point where the consumer catches up with the technology or vice versa, but I don't know. This thing with the electric automobiles just, it interests me, to say the least, but I don't know how well it's going to become a part of our culture, you know?
I do, and I think you're right. I think that this could be a rocky transition. I don't think it's going to be terrible, but I think it could be rocky. And one of the things that's different from the adoption of hybrids was that hybrids didn't really require the driver to do anything. It was new technology, and it was good technology, but it scared people. But an electric vehicle requires habit changes. You have to remember to charge at home.
Yeah.
And if you do have to charge away, at least for a long time, it's going to take longer. And you may have to plan for a while where you're going to charge. So this is a greater commitment, and it is a change that we're going to have to get used to, or drivers are going to have to get used to, and people are going to drag their feet on this, absolutely.
Now, what is the relationship between an electric vehicle and the chip shortage and a regular new car today and the chip shortage? I mean, are there more chips in an electric vehicle than there are in the ones that are on the lots today?
Near as I can tell, the numbers are pretty similar.
So, really?
Yeah, there are electric vehicles that people want to get rolling with that are also being stalled right now. The Ford Mustang Mach-E, for example, I know production of that has been slowed down by the chip shortage.
I know that auto dealers are feeling the pinch because I believe sales are down of new cars because of this chip shortage. Yet, on the other hand, they're making these... Sometimes I hear outrageous stories about getting used cars back from their customers, although it's a catch-22, so to speak. I mean, hey, you bought this car for $30,000. We'll give you $38,000 to give it back to us, but then you got to go buy another car. I mean, it's not like they give you $38,000 and an automobile. It's crazy. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, unless you have a car that's sitting around doing nothing, this is the perfect time to sell that. Otherwise, you're going to have to replace your car at these current very inflated prices.
Yes, that's right. And for years I would get, I'm sure every manufacturer did this, and you'd get if you leased a car, you bought a car from a dealer, I don't know, maybe in the next 18 months or 2 years, you'd get some sort of form email. Hey, have you thought about trading in your car for a such and such, or, you know, a come on to come in, yeah, and trade a car that you bought from this dealer not that long ago. This has been going on for a long time, but they weren't like offering bounty. You know what I mean? It's like there wasn't an extra price tag on it. Wow, that is just how long is this? When do you think this chip thing is going to end?
It should start to ease up very soon because there is more chips in production now. We're still in trouble, but it's going to be getting better this year. But this month and probably next month will be the worst months for automakers in terms
wow.
of sales and inventory. And anyone who's driven around Chicago and looked at a car dealership lot knows that things are bad.
Oh, no, I know that. I have a friend who runs a Honda dealership, and they usually have, 200 cars maybe on the lot. Now they have 35. I mean, it's really ridiculous. And tough to get these new cars because of the chip.
Yeah, I heard a number today. Right now, this time of year, there should be about 3 million, maybe a little bit more than 3 million new cars on dealer lots as mm-hmm. national inventory. And there's something like 900,000 out there.
So right.
Less than a third of what should be in circulation.
Yes, right.
And if you want to buy a car now, and in addition to paying too much for it, or more than old market value, you're not going to find the exact thing you want. You're not going to find the color. You're not going to find the options. You're going to have to pick what you can find.
Yeah. Well, Tom, thank you so much for being with us. I always enjoy talking to you. Tom Appel, publisher of the Consumer Guide Automotive. Thanks for being with us again, Tom, and stay safe out there. Don't drink and drive.